We're privileged today to have Joanne Oftedal, missionary to the Philippines, with us. Always like to have the opportunity to hear missionaries, and some of you have probably seen Joanne. She's from our section. She's from Rice Lake, which is pretty close to home. A part of our section, she spoke at women gatherings and things, and so you might have seen her across our section. But it's a privilege and a joy to have her with us today. So Joanne, would you come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart today? We'll be taking a break and taking an offering in the middle for Joanne. Would you like a lapel or?
I think just this. Thank you. Okay. Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you this morning, and thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come this Sunday morning. I had a change in my schedule, need to be over in the cities this late afternoon, so thank you very much. I'm so glad the Lord allowed me to stay home a little bit longer so I could visit you. I've been home on furlough. I've been a missionary in the Philippines since 1986, full-time. Before that, a couple of years of what we called short-term, and the Lord turned it into long-term. I so well remember when I first went over right out of Bible school, and I thought I was going for a whole year, and I just didn't know how I could be away from home that long. And you know, God is good, amen? God leads us. He opens the doors. He doesn't show us the whole future. We'd probably run away. But God prepares us, and God leads each one of us along, as the song goes. He leads us. And I'm so thankful the Lord has allowed me to serve in the Philippines. I came home last June, a year ago, 2002, for a year furlough to visit churches back home in the States and report on what God is doing and ask for your prayers and continued support. While I was still home in June, I stayed home a few weeks longer, and my father, God knew what was ahead. My dad had a brain aneurysm, and we almost lost him. Of course, he knows the Lord. We wouldn't lose him. We know where he's going. But the Lord is restoring him. He's home. He's getting stronger, and he's a miracle. The doctors are amazed, and he's 86, almost 87, and for that age, his strength. But he said, God told me he has something more he wants me to do. So, and we as family are thankful. And I'm thankful that's why I stayed home a bit longer. But the Lord gave me opportunity to come. God is good, amen? I don't know what you came here this morning with. We all have different things going on in our lives, in our families, in our every part of our lives, but this is the best place to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, there's always hope in Jesus. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father God, we rejoice to be gathered in your presence this morning. Lord, we just thank you so much for the privilege and that you've given us, God. May we never take it for granted, the freedoms that we have here in America, that we can gather freely and worship you, Lord. We don't have to worry, Lord, about anyone coming and catching us, worshiping you, gathering together. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you most of all for Jesus. Thank you for that we have a Savior, a living hope, and that we are going to see you one day soon. And Lord, I pray that you administer to this congregation this morning, God. Lord, we come here, Lord, from our many walks of life, Lord, with our many situations, but God, I pray that you would speak to your church this morning, and may the church hear what the Spirit would speak to each one of our hearts. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the harvest, Lord, to see things from an eternal perspective. Jesus, that we might have love for the lost, God, and a burning desire to bring them to you. Father, I pray your blessing on the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to share with you some reports just to, I really feel the presence of the Lord in this service and in this congregation, and it's so wonderful to be part of the body of Christ. You know, whether you're here in Wilson, Wisconsin, or whether you're across the ocean in Timbuktu, or whether you're somewhere in the Philippines, when you're with God's people. We are family, and I just want this morning that all of our awareness be raised to know that we are part of something big. We are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And today, in the day we're living, sometimes it seems like the gates of hell are trying to come against us in our individual lives, in our nation, with the terrorist activities around the world. Doesn't change God's word. Jesus is building his church, and God is working out his will. And it's good to be a part of that. I've served in the Philippine Islands, as Pastor said, and I know that you are aware of the Philippines. Pastor Son, are you Pastor Son? Spent time in the Philippines, and I know had a wonderful ministry down in Iloilo area. Wonderful. God has given us open doors in the Philippines. But if some of you are not so familiar, the Philippine Islands is an island nation made up of 7,100 islands in Southeast Asia. Now, they say about 1,000 of those are inhabited. The rest are probably little rocks in the sea, but they count them. Anyway, it's still an island nation. It's on what is called the Ring of Fire. It's volcanic, rugged islands. We are prone to earthquakes. We have 10 active volcanoes. It's still considered a third world country, developing nation. In many ways, the Philippines has progressed very much. You'll find McDonald's all over the islands now. A few years ago, there was no such thing there. So it's kind of westernized. On the other hand, you might not find running water in many of the homes. You won't find electricity, though they might have a cell phone, so it's quite an interesting combination. But the Philippines is an island nation with 80 million people. A Roman Catholic nation having been a colony of Spain for 400 years. They even named it the Philippines after King Philip of Spain and united those islands as a nation. However, when they took over, there were a Muslim population in the southern Philippines that never became conquered, really. They're still there. We have 13 indigenous groups of Filipino Muslims. And I know that Philippines been in the news more lately. The Muslims have been there since before the Philippines was called the Philippines. And the Philippines is very near to Indonesia, just north of the equator and just north of the big island nation of Indonesia, which has 150,000 islands. That's a big nation. It's the largest Muslim nation in the world. And today, the churches, we do have Christians in Indonesia, by the way. We have a strong church in Indonesia, but many of the places in Indonesia, Christians are suffering terrible persecution. As the Lord brings to your mind or you hear something on the news, pray for the Christians in that nation. Pray for the missionaries serving in Indonesia. I have a really good friend from the Philippines, a Filipina. We call the ladies Filipina. A Filipina young lady, Janice, and she is serving in Indonesia as a missionary today. The Lord is raising up the Philippine nation to be a missionary nation. But I wanted to give you just a little background of the Philippines, because the Philippines is located in Southeast Asia. It's surrounded by either Muslim, like Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei, down in that area, Muslim nations to the south and east. Or communist nations, Laos, Vietnam. Cambodia is now, I'm not sure what their official status is, but praise God, we've got the gospel into Cambodia today. Or Buddhist nations like the Chinese nations around the Philippines. And so the Philippines is called the Christian nation of Southeast Asia. You know, Christian, I put in quotes, because to be Christian in name isn't necessarily to be Christian. But we praise God that the Philippines is truly becoming more and more a true Christian nation. As churches are springing up all over the Philippines, evangelical churches, people coming to know the Lord, not only a religion, as I said, it's a Catholic nation, the people are very religious, very God-conscious, God-fearing. Not that they're all perfect, there's a lot of crime and a lot of sin in the Philippines, as everywhere. People need Jesus in their heart. But we thank God it's happening. The Assemblies of God is now the fastest growing evangelical church in the Philippines. Our Filipino leadership, we praise God for the Filipino church and not only Assembly of God, but all of the true Christian churches in the Philippines. But the Assemblies of God was started not even by missionaries, but by Filipinos in the Philippines. Way back before World War II, before my time, before your time, some Filipinos came over to California looking for gold. This is what they said. "We came looking for gold, but we found God." Praise God. That was back right after the revival in California and the outpouring of the Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. There were about five men. They had an urgency to go back. They forgot all their desire for gold, for a good life. They gave it up. They had something better. They went back and began preaching. And actually, in the island of Panay, where, I don't know your name, Pastor Sun was there. I forgot, I'm sorry. That's where the Assemblies of God started in the Philippines. And they suffered persecution in those days, but they kept preaching, and I love to hear those testimonies. God raised up a church. Today we have over 3,000 Assembly of God churches across the Philippines, all pastored by Filipinos. We missionaries are blessed to be there, but you know they're better at pastoring their own people. Although God gave me my heart's desire to be a pastor for a little while. My first term, God allowed me and a Filipina young lady named Gina to go to a small town on the island of Luzon in Batangas Province and plant a church. And we moved into the little town God put on our heart. There was no evangelical church there, no Pentecostal witness, a very strong religious stronghold, but very full of witchcraft. Every town in the Philippines, you know, they became Catholic when the Spanish came by force. They became, took on the religion as well. They sent the soldiers and the priests. And the people embraced the religion. But deep down, they only added it on top of what they already had. They were already worshiping the spirits, you know, living in fear of the bad, as they call them, bad spirits, the evil spirits. And the Philippines is full of occultism, we could call it. Every town has a witch doctor, abulario. We found that in this very religious town of Taal where we went to start a church. I thought, what a peaceful little town until I lived there. But God is building a church, and that was several years ago, and not through our efforts, but even after we left, the Lord has raised up several Pentecostal, full Spirit-filled churches in that town. The gospel is spreading in the Philippines, and we praise God for that. We still do have unreached people groups in the Philippines. We have many tribal areas in the very remote mountains where they never even became Catholic. They worship the gods of nature. You know, everybody makes a god if they don't know God. It's in our hearts to have a god, to worship God. God made us that way, to know him. And we were traveling up north of Manila in the mountains not too long ago, and came to a little village, and there was a big rock, huge boulder sitting there, and it was the strangest sight. They built a roof over it. What is that? And the young man who could speak English, this was another language area. We have over 100 language groups in the Philippines, by the way. He told us, this is the God that this village prays to. And they said they built a covering to protect it from the elements, because before, everybody in the village was getting sick, the children were dying, and they just felt like they needed to give more honor to their God. How sad, you know? Praying to a God that cannot hear. But I'm so thankful we have a God who hears, a God who answers prayer, a God who saves from sin and gives eternal life. And pray with us that we may reach all of those villages in the Philippines. My heart went out, and I thought, how many more across the northern mountains of the Philippines? It's very rugged, and we still have a lot of people to reach. It's the goal of the Assemblies of God, not only the Assemblies of God, the evangelical churches, of which the Assemblies of God is taking a lead right now, but all of the churches together in the Philippines, Christians working together to plant a church in every barangay, in every community. Because in the Philippines, it's a poor nation. People can't just get in the car and travel on the beautiful highways we have in America. Most people don't have a car. They don't have money. They don't have a way to travel far. We have to take the gospel to where they are. And that's the goal of our churches in the Philippines, to put a church for every community in the Philippines. We call it discipling a whole nation, Dawn. And we are continuing that movement in the Philippines. that the Church of Jesus Christ may reach that nation, because God has had his hand upon the Philippines. In Southeast Asia, God is today using the Philippines to reach out to many other parts of Asia. I mentioned the Filipino pastors and leadership, and as a missionary, we come alongside and help. You know, sometimes I've prayed, Lord, we have a strong church in the Philippines. Do you still want me here? And God answered me very clearly. This time, God has given me a vision to go back and teach in Emmanuel Bible College in Cebu. As missionaries, we come alongside and help train Filipinos to be pastors and leaders, teaching the Word of God. Many are pastoring there that never had a chance to go to Bible school yet. We are also taking our Bible schools out to them, where they are, and doing classes like a block session for 2 weeks or a Saturday class for those, because God is raising up a harvest. Churches are growing, but we need leaders. And that's our main work. But the greatest desire God's put on my heart is to help the churches to get a vision for missions. God is calling Filipinos to go as missionaries. And that's been the biggest thing. The last term that I was in the Philippines, I was in Manila at a school, two Bible schools near Manila. I saw so many of our young people in the Philippines with a call of God on their heart to go out as missionaries into other cultures and other nations. And that's, God is calling that church, God's blessing and has protected the Philippines over the years, I believe, not only to bless them, but to bless Asia. They can go places today where I can't go, where we cannot go, but they can go. Filipinos are going into Vietnam continuously. Our pastors, several pastors are going in, training leaders, meeting with church groups in Vietnam. Of course, they have to do it carefully. They could get put in prison. They could get the Vietnamese brethren in trouble. It's a communist nation. The church is severely persecuted in Vietnam, but there's a church. And God is using Filipinos. Also, they're going into the Middle East. Philippines is a poor nation still, and so many of them cannot find work. They go overseas. You'll find Filipinos in every nation of the world, I believe. They're there. Sometimes it's discouraging, and it's very sad to me to see families split apart. The husband goes overseas to work, or the wife. But I try to understand their situation as well. There's just not enough anything for them. But on the other hand, God is using those Filipinos who go out as tent maker missionaries. So many of them who go, if they're not Christians, they become Christians. The last few years in our Bible school, I've met many Filipinos, and I ask for their testimonies, and I say, I want to hear about how you came to know Jesus. And I have been amazed. I've had several students who said, well, I went to work in Saudi Arabia. I met Jesus in Saudi Arabia. Can you imagine? In a Muslim nation where you could give your life for a Christian testimony, where right now we have Filipino in jail in Saudi Arabia for meeting together and sharing God's word. But they're doing it. Those who go as Christians, many are working there. They share Jesus. And others come to Jesus right under the nose of that persecution. God's word is not bound. The Holy Spirit is working. And it's a joy to work with the Church of the Philippines. I think I better. But as missionaries, we basically go to work alongside our Filipino brethren to encourage the churches. You know, God calls us all in a little different ministry. Some missionaries are working with children's ministry, and we all end up doing that at time or another. You'll see a picture on the back table that of all the children. And I was sitting there in the middle of them. They love their picture taken, by the way. Oh, take my picture. But that was at a school in Panay, in northern Panay, north of Iloilo, at a public school. You know, it's amazing the opportunities God gives us to go in and share the gospel. We just asked if we could come in and share with the children. They gave us a whole 2 hours. They gathered all the school together. And guess what? We got to share Jesus with them. And we praise God for those opportunities. But mostly we are there, and many of us work with training leaders. Jesus trained his disciples, and Paul said, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will be able to teach others." You know, none of us would be Christians today if Paul and other early apostles didn't train and raise up leaders in the churches. And that's what we pray for the Philippines. Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust forth workers into the harvest." That's our prayer for the Philippines, that God will keep his hand on that nation. As I shared in the beginning, the Philippines is surrounded by nations that do not have freedom of the gospel, like Indonesia, Muslim nations, Buddhist nations, communist nations. But God has preserved the Philippines. When Spain came, the Philippines was quickly becoming a Muslim nation, just like Indonesia to the south. But Spain stopped the growth of Islam, and the Philippines became a Christian nation, a nation free to the gospel. I believe God had his hand in that. We still have Muslims in the Philippines. Pray for them. You know, we need to pray for them. God is doing a mighty work. And even through those who have given their lives, we had a Christian Filipino in the southern Mindanao, had a Christian radio station, and he was preaching in the Tausug language of one of the Filipino Muslim tribes are called the Tausugs. He was a Tausug Christian. He was preaching the gospel on the radio. Just while he was preaching, Tausug Muslims came in and killed him right there on the air. And things like that are happening. But I believe the blood of the martyrs is going to bring much fruit. You know, God didn't allow that to happen just to happen. We know he's with the Lord. But I believe we're going to see a harvest, even in Mindanao. We have another ministry in Mindanao. Years ago, before World War II, America was sending, after the Spanish-American War, when America fought and helped to free the Philippines from Spanish domination, America sent school teachers over and set up schools in the Philippines. Well, one young lady went over, and one young man, single at the time, as school teachers. They later got met in the Philippines, got married, spent the rest of their lives there, and raised a family. They bought land in Mindanao, right in the middle of the Muslim area. They bought a large plot of land. They started a plantation. Their name is Spencer. And today, they were devout Christians, love the Lord. And everything that they make on that plantation goes into ministry in the Philippines. And not only that, God has used them to reach so many Muslims for Christ. All their employees working on the plantation are Muslims. They respect the Spencers because they've been kind to them. They've treated them right. They've had a great witness. A few years ago, the Lord gave me opportunity to go down there. It was kind of scary. You couldn't go in by land because of ambushes and things. So they came in their little private plane and picked me up in Cotabato City. It was exciting. That's a missionary. You know, I live in the big city most of the time in the Philippines, so that was kind of exciting. But the most exciting thing was preaching. They asked me to preach. They have a Christian school. And I got to preach. It was a graduation for their elementary school. I got to preach to all those Muslim parents that day as their children were graduating. They were sitting out on the hillside. I can still see them in their Muslim dress. And I got to tell them about Jesus. And, you know, God is working in the midst of the hardest of places. Quickly, I just want to tell you about another thing. We have 4 Bible colleges. We have many Bible schools throughout the Philippines, but we, Assemblies of God, have 4 major Bible schools. Emmanuel Bible College in Cebu, Bethel Bible College in Manila. Last year, I was working with Bethel last term, had the largest graduating class in the 60-year history of the school. They had over 80 graduates go out into ministry. Bethel also just started a missions major 2 years ago, training missionaries. And they also just started, I just got an email from a friend, a student in her 4th year this year, and she has a missions call in her heart to go to the Middle East. And when you hear her pray for the Muslims, you know it's from God. It's so deep burden that she has for Muslim people. That's the Holy Spirit. Because that didn't just happen. The Filipinos people have suffered because of the Muslims in their fighting over the years in their land. But God's doing a new work. And she told me, Ate Joanne, they call older sister Ate. She said, Ate Joanne, we just started Juma Prayer Fellowship at Bethel. You know, for many years, we tried to start a ministry praying for Muslims in the Philippines because we have those 13 Muslim groups in the Philippines. But it was like pulling teeth. I mean, just to get people to pray for them because they live in fear and terror of them. There was hatred. There was prejudice. With reason. Things have happened. But the Holy Spirit has done what we couldn't do. The Holy Spirit has called these young people in the Philippines to fast and pray every Friday for salvation of Muslims. We are living in the last days, I believe, and God is calling harvest to bring in the harvest. God is not willing that any should perish. And God's doing a great work through our Bible schools. We also have another school in the Philippines in Baguio. Baguio is on the island, the northern island of Luzon in the Philippines, if you look at a map. It's a large island in the north, about, well, we used to say 5 hours north of Manila. We don't go by miles or kilometers. We go by hours. And now it's about 13. My last two trips were about 13-hour drive just because of the heavy traffic. Lots of people there. Lots of vehicles on the roads, small roads. But in Baguio, in the mountains of Baguio, we have a school called Asia Pacific Theological Seminary. Not cemetery, folks. Don't mix it up. It's a school for training Pentecostal pastors, evangelists, children's ministers and youth, and missionaries for not only the Philippines but all of Southeast Asia. Located in the Philippines because we have freedom for the gospel in the Philippines. And God has allowed the school to be started, training Asians for ministry from all of the countries, Japan, Korea, South Korea, China, Myanmar, which was called Burma, Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia. They come from all of these places, even as far as Fiji, the Pacific Islands. In that school, we have an 8-week summer missionary training program, training Asian missionaries. Part of that is Islamic studies, training those specifically called to go to Muslim nations. Last year, we had 80. We had 80 participants from 20 different nations, mostly in Asia. Some came as far as, I met a young man from Romania. He said he has a call of God to go to Afghanistan. Wow, God, you're doing amazing things. Romania just opened the gospel not that long ago. And God is using that new church to send missionaries. And last year we had 80 mostly, not all young, I was going to say young people, 80 persons called of the Holy Spirit to go into Muslim nations. I believe God is bringing a great harvest in the last days. God is bringing forth a harvest. And God is using the Philippines as a launching pad to launch out harvesters, especially into the Southeast Asian nations, that they might hear the gospel. And I'm thankful to serve in the Philippine Islands. When I go back, God has put specifically on my heart to help the churches get a vision that God wants to use them. The Filipino churches have had missionaries coming for years, and it's a poor nation. And they've had the mentality that America, the rich nations, can send the missionaries. They have the money. They have the resources. But God's calling Filipinos to go. And my heart is that the churches will hear the call of God to send their missionaries, to support them, to pray for them. Because they're going with hardly any support. But I know God will bless the churches of the Philippines as they enlarge their vision, that God is using them, you know, that they are important in God's harvest. God's raised them up for a purpose to send out missionaries. Thank you.
Well, I think that's really neat how the gospel comes full circle when you can send out missionaries. And I was just thinking, you know, we can invest in Joanne's ministry today. And we probably have an investment in the people that she invests in. And then those people, we have an investment in who they invest in. So you have an opportunity today to give not only to the ministry of the Philippines, but to ministry that will come from the Philippines around the world. So if we could have the ushers come back today, we'd like to take up a love offering.
Thank you. I'll share fast. I know it's getting late. I won't keep you long. But I want to share some more that God has put on my heart. And thank you very much for the offering. And I just pray the Lord will multiply it. For it will do something for eternity. And we will use it for ministry completely in the Philippines. Also, if God puts on your heart, I just will mention this for prayer, and you'll talk with your pastor about this. But I still do need monthly support. That's partly why I stayed home longer. I'm still short at this time $400 a month in support. So if the Lord lays on any hearts, but I don't know what your church is doing, so be sure you talk with your pastor about that. But I do ask for your prayers. I know God is faithful. Amen. This morning, I'd like you to open your Bible for just a couple minutes, please, to Matthew chapter 20. I love that song about this kingdom. We are part of God's kingdom, and it's a kingdom that is forever. Amen. And God is building his kingdom around the world. Jesus, minister, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. Jesus talked about the harvest. You know, the harvest is bringing souls into the kingdom, building the kingdom of God. And as you read the teachings of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, he talked so much about the harvest. His heart is for the lost. Of course, he gave his life, he gave his blood for souls. And Jesus talked about, in this parable of the workers in the vineyard, Christ Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He's looking over his harvest over the world, and he's sending forth workers to bring in that harvest before he comes back. Let's read from verse 1, chapter 20 of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing. He said to them, or he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" He said to them, "Oh," they said, "because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." We'll stop there for a moment. Jesus is still calling workers into his harvest. I thank God for how he's used America, and before that Europe, and still Europe as well, to send missionaries. And I truly believe that's why God has blessed our nation. We are the most blessed nation that has ever been. We are blessed. If you don't believe it, travel to, you don't have to go too far. Other nations, we are blessed. And God has blessed us, and I truly believe because our nation was founded on Christian principles, our nation has sent out the gospel. And I pray to God that we continue to do that and don't lose our focus. Because, well, what better thing can we do? With our lives, that's the greatest thing, you know. And not only that, we want God's blessing on our nation, but we want that we will be used to bring souls. In this last day, God is calling last day harvesters. I believe we're in that 11th hour. Excuse me. We don't know the future. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. You know, the first century church expected Jesus' return. Keep your finger in Matthew, but turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter was writing about AD 64, not that long after Jesus ascended into heaven. Peter was writing, and many of the apostles had already died. And the early church was expecting Jesus to come back. Remember that when Jesus ascended, the angels came and said to those standing there, "Why stand you here gazing into the heavens?" The same Jesus who went away is coming back in like manner. And that early church expected him to come already. If only they knew how long it would have been. And we're still waiting. But Peter wrote about AD 64 to the church to encourage them to not be discouraged because he hasn't come back yet. He said, "In the last days, scoffers will come saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' Everything continues the same. The fathers," meaning the early apostles, "have fallen asleep, have gone to be with the Lord. Jesus didn't come back yet." But let's read. We won't read it all. Verse 8, 2 Peter 3:8. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. In the light of eternity," 1,000 years is nothing. It's a speck. Eternity is forever. He said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, looking for and speeding the day of his coming." Are we looking for Jesus? Amen. Let's keep our eyes, our focus on Jesus. Scripture says, "Comfort one another with these words. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with sound of an archangel." And, you know, the scriptures, we'll be caught up with the Lord in an instant. It's going to happen. Peter said, like a thief. I had a thief in my house one night in Manila. I will never forget it. I was, my first term in 1988, I was living in Manila. It was April, which is summer in the Philippines. Hot, hot. Had an air conditioner in the window in my bedroom, but it wasn't working. It was frozen up, and I sat up on the bed at 2 a.m. I happened to see the clock, so I remember the time. I know more that I was sitting on the edge of the bed, my door opened, and this guy stuck his head in. All I remember is he had a bright yellow t-shirt, and I panicked. I laid down, covered up my head. You're a brave missionary. Maybe he didn't see me, though. But anyway, through that all, the Lord protected us. Nobody got hurt. They were disappointed robbers. They didn't get anything. And I truly believe the Lord sent an angel or something. They took off running. But through that, this comes alive like a thief. They come very quiet, very unexpectedly. Jesus is coming back. Back to Matthew. Bringing in that harvest. God knows when evening, this story goes on, when evening comes, he calls the foreman to pay the workers. I won't read it all right now. Starting with the last ones hired and going to the first. And he pays them all the same thing. Of course, the first ones think it's not fair. They worked all day in the heat of the day. And Jesus simply says, "I'm not being unfair. I'm giving you what I promised, but I'm generous to others. The last will be first, and the first will be last." And I believe that this has something to say to the church today. All of us will be rewarded. I thank God, as I said, that we've had the privilege of sending missionaries. But in this day, do you know the largest growing missionary force is from what we call developing nations? Like Burkina Faso, a very poor nation in Africa, much poorer than the Philippines in worldly goods, and they don't have much resources. The church is fairly new, but they are sending missionaries out. They're just sending a great missionary force out into other nations. God is calling 11th hour workers. There's work for all of us together before he comes back. God wants to use all of us. I thank God for the Filipinos being called to go. I know many of them are in Cambodia. Several Filipinos I know are serving in the nation of Cambodia. And I know they've gone with no support. Very little. Hardly any. But God's using them in a fantastic way. But I pray that the Lord will help the churches to support them as well. That they'll be blessed. God has a work for all of us to do. God may not call some of you to go to another nation or another culture, but we are all called, amen? Don't belittle your place. If God called you right here in Wilson, Wisconsin, to be faithful to him, be faithful where he puts you. And God will use you. There are souls to be saved, but we do have responsibility to pray for the lost. David Barrett, in his Global World Mission Studies for this year, estimated, he does these studies and finds about unreached groups. There are over 6 billion people in the world today, population. 1.6 billion are considered unreached. Not only unevangelized, like our neighbors and relatives, or unsaved, but unreached people groups. Those in places where they've never had opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're living in cultures where if someone doesn't grow cross-culturally and reach them, there's nobody there to proclaim the gospel. We still have unreached people groups. And I'm here today to just remind the church, Jesus is coming back, but he's not willing that any should perish. And we still have a work to do, to send missionaries, to pray. Prayer is the most powerful thing you can do. Gather together and pray. You know, today on the internet, you can get all kinds of, you can get up-to-date statistics of unreached people groups to pray for. You can pray specifically. Pray for the persecuted Christians like in North Korea, suffering terrible persecution. There are Christians there, probably numbering in the thousands we're hearing now, giving their lives for Christ. But those who are getting out are telling there are Christians there. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in those places. God has a work for all of us to do. I think I better close. There's much to say, but I thank you for your prayers for me. Thank you for your offering today. Thank you for going with me in prayer as I go back to the Philippines. I'll write to you. I hope to leave in about less than 2 weeks to be back in the Philippines very soon. So I really appreciate your prayers. God is good, and it's great to be a part of the work he's doing. Jesus is coming soon. He said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness unto me, and then will the end come. And he said in Peter, we can speed his coming as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Joanne, why don't you stand? We like to pray for our missionaries as they're here. And so if you'd like to come and lay hands upon her, you may do so. I'll lead us in prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Joanne and her willingness to serve you in whatever capacity you call her to do. And Lord, we thank you for speaking to her heart about going to the Philippines. We thank you for speaking to her heart while she's been at home these last few months, solidifying the call and directing the call, placing a burden upon her heart. And we pray, Lord, that that burden would continue to grow there until she begins to see what she wants to see accomplished, until your vision takes place, not only in her life, but as it's transferred to her life, to the churches there in the Philippines, and to individual people in those churches. Lord, we pray for a continued harvest in the Philippines. Lord, continue to reach people with the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ saves them, and continue the missionary effort that is coming from the Philippines to other parts of the world. Lord, just may that increase 100-fold. And Lord, we pray for those missionaries and those Christians in the Philippines who are living in dangerous areas and coming under attack. Lord, we pray for your protection to rest upon them. Lord, that you would overshadow them with your covering, with your wings. They would find a place of refuge and safety under the shadow of your wings. And Lord, that a boldness would come forth from that country that would literally reach every country in the world. Lord, do a marvelous work. You are a big God, and nothing is too difficult for you. We pray for Joanne as she goes back, that you would give her safe traveling mercies, keep her in good health. Lord, continue to be with her father and her family as she leaves them here. Lord, just continue to strengthen her dad. He would come back to a place of where he was before he had this illness. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for this report today. And Lord, may we continue to hear good reports of how you, by your Holy Spirit, is moving in the Philippines and beyond. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.